Tikkun Vasi, they should take my separation. So, the Sefer Tzemach David asks a number of the Yukim on this pasuk over here. Davrovene Yisrov, Yikuli Truma. From every man whose heart desires, tikhu has trumasi. Question number one, he asks, if it says in the beginning of the pasuk yikuli truma, so why is it necessary for the Torah to repeat itself, tikhu has trumasi? It's redundant. Yikuli truma, so finish, that's all it has to say. Why does it have to say at the end of the pasuk again, tikhu has trumasi? Question number two, why does the pasuk start out speaking v'yikuli truma? They shall take truma from me, as if it's speaking to someone else in third person. They shall take truma from me, and then it says tikhu, you shall take truma from me. It starts out speaking about someone else. They shall take truma from me, and then it says tikhu, you shall take truma from me. That's question number two. Question number three. It starts out with v'yikuli truma. And then it ends off, tikhu es truma si. They should take my truma. If anything, you should have said tikhu es truma si. The person that separates truma, so now you should take his truma from him, his truma. But what is this tikhu es truma si? So again, three questions. Why does the Torah have to say twice, v'yikuli truma, then tikhu es truma si? Why does the Torah look at Tilu when it says v'yikuli truma? It's as if it's speaking about a different person. They will take from me. And then it addresses directly the Bnei Yisrael, tikhu es truma si. And number three, what is the tikhu es truma si? Should have said tikhu es truma si. The one who separates, take his truma. So the Sefer Tzemach David quotes a Medrash Tanchuma. It says v'yikuli truma mishalahem. Originally, the truma belonged to them and they separated it. But after they already donated it, then take it from him against his will. L'chadchila, it depends on their nedivas halev. As long as it belongs to them, they donate it from their goodwill, their good-heartedness. But once they already dedicated it, once they donated it already, then there's a halach, you have to take it against their will. The gizmer shel hekdesh has to enforce it. So according to this, the pasuk comes out beautiful. This is the pshat of the pasuk. The yikuli truma, the Torah is speaking to the treasurer of Hekdesh. And he says as follows, the yikhu, they, the Bnei Yisrael, they will separate a truma from me. And once they do that, tikhu, you should take it from them against their will. The yikhu originally was Hashem is speaking to the treasurer. They, the Bnei Yisrael, will make donations for the Mishkan. Once they do that, it's no longer theirs, then it already belongs to me. So you have a chiv, tikhu as trumasi. Now it's already mine. Now you're a chiv to take it from them. That answers all the questions. Number one, why is the pasuk redundant? The yikhu li truma, then tikhu as trumasi. Talking about two different people. The yikhu is referring to they, the donors. And tikhu as trumasi is referring to the gizbar of Hekdesh. You have a chiv to take it from them once they donated it. The yikhu is said in third person, they, the Bnei Yisrael, will donate. Tikhu, I am directing my tzivui to you. You, the gizbar of Hekdesh, shall take. Why does it say trumasi here? They originally donated it, it belonged to them. But once they donated it, trumasi, it already belongs to me. That's why now you have a chiv to take it. That answers the three diyukim in the pasuk. Now, the asuli migdosh, the Torah says, they shall make for me a beis hamigdosh, v'shachanti b'seichom, I will dwell amongst them. Slabotke Rish Yeshiva, Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Sher, Zechatzadik Levrocha, he has a sefer, Lechet Sichos Musar. And he asks a question, after everything that the Bnei Yisrael had experienced, they had seen the Ten Makas, they had seen Kriyas Yamsuf, they had the Mon, the Onon, they saw tremendous Giluyim, tremendous revelations, Maimon Har Sinai. What could the Mishkan possibly have added to what they already saw? I mean, usually Malin Bakhoidish, you have to go up in Kiddushin. And they already experienced so many revelations from Hashem. Kriyas Yamsuf, they said, Zeh Kelivan Veyu. They pointed to the Shechina. Masheros Shivcha Layam. Leiro Yecheskel Ben Buzi, with a plain maidservant, saw by the sea. The greatest of Nevi'im who saw the Maaser Merkava, he didn't see. So what could this Mishkan now possibly add to the Madrega of Klal Yisrael that all of the Gilim, all of the revelations didn't yet add? So he says one word. One word. What the Mishkan added? Tamidius. Consistency. Consistency. It was a constant. A nes, it happens, but then it goes away. And after it goes away, the Roshim, it dissipates, it disappears from us. But when you have the Shechina constantly within you, it might not be in such a fantastic, outstanding way, but if the Shechina is there with you, and you're doing the Avodah Keseder, that makes a bigger imprint on the Neshama than the greatest of Nisim. We tend to say that if we would have lived in the times of the Yidden, during Yetzias Mitzrayim, had we just seen one nes, we'd be different people for the rest of our lives. If we see this one gigantic frog coming out of the Nile, and you see how the Mitzrayim are banging it, and it multiplies into two, into four, into hundreds, into thousands, we'd be different people for the rest of our lives. Had we crossed Yam Suf, we'd not be Chofetz Chaim for the rest of our lives. That's not the case. Because the Bnei Yisrael witnessed all of these things, and still, and the chait of Egel, and the chait of the Meimariva, and they gave Moshe Rabbeinu a hard time. How's that possible? They experienced all of these nisim. And the answer is, one of the answers given by the Mepharshim is, because a nes is only, it makes a roshim for the moment. Wow, it's fantastic, it's unbelievable. But then it moves away, and then you lose the roshim. I once heard from Rav Chaim Dov Keller, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tel Chicago. He said that in the yeshivas in Europe, in the Musi yeshivas, they used to compare a nes to the hispilus of a cow. They used to call it Kelbiner hispilus, a cow's hispilus. What does that mean? They would go on the road and see a herd of cows grazing in the pasture. They're busy, their heads are down on the ground. They're munching on that. They're munching on that orangutan and that grass. The giant. Then all of a sudden, this big 18-wheeler, it moves by with a tremendous rush. It makes, and the cows, they pick up their heads and they look, and the thing passes by, and then they stick their heads back in again to the grass, back again to the way they were looking. He says, that's the way a nes works. You know, people, they are involved in their daily routine, eating, drinking, sleeping, working. Their gashmi is the kid needs. And every now and then, the nes happens, and we pick up our heads, and we look, wow. And then the nes passes, you go back again into the old routine, the way it was, l'chatchila. That is the metzias. A nes could be a gevaldik zach, to ignite the neshama, to buoy a person to higher, to greater heights, if he capitalizes on it, yes, then it's a gevaldik zach. But the nes itself, it passes l'maisa. The Rosha, it passes by. Chaim Shmulevitz used to say, Givaldi Givart, Rosa Shivcha Alayam, Mashalay Ro Yecheskel Ben Buzi, over a Shivcha Zigiblim. Lamaisa, she remained the same Shivcha. She still called the Shivcha. What do you mean? She saw Gilui Shchina, she should have reached the high Madrega, she should have been the biggest Rebetzin. No. She remained the same Shivcha as before. Why? That is the Mitzvahs. You can see Nisim, but they're a Roshim, they leave a Roshim for the moment. If you capitalize on it, yes, it can be a Gevaldi Gazach. But if you don't, then you remain the same person, the same cow that goes back into the grass. Not so the Mishkan. The Mishkan was a constant. The Avoida, Tamidin Kisidron, Esakeris Achotasa Babayke, Esakeris Ashayitasa Beinah Avoyim. There were Kurbanis, Nidavis, there was the Ketiris, there was the lighting of the Menorah. It was a constant Avoida. That is what really counts by the Bnei Yisrael. That is what really leaves a Roshan. Now we have to know that for ourselves. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash nowadays. But yes, we do have a Beis HaMikdash. We have the Bata Knesias and the Bata Midrashas. The daily grind, that daily routine of Ruchlius, getting up in the morning, pulling yourself out of bed, and doing the Avodah, going to Shacharis. And then, you know, supporting the family, that's also an Avodah. And then schlepping yourself to a shir at night, which is not always easy. But that makes more of a roshim on the Yiddish and Neshama than the greatest of Nisim. The Nisim, they pass. But the daily Avodah, the daily routine, the daily Tamidius, the consistency, the constant, that is what makes the roshim on the Bnei Yisrael. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be Moisiv with the Mishkan. V'osu Aroin Atzei Shitim. They should make an Orin of cedar wood. Amasayim v'chetzi orkei, 2.5 amas. Its length, v'amav v'chetzi rogbei, 1.5 amas is width, v'amav v'chetzi kaimosei, and 1.5 amas its height. The Ramban over here says a ha'or. If you look at all of the kelim in the Mikdash, it says it, v'osisa, you should make it, it says it in singular. You should make the menorah, you should make the shulchan, singular. This is the only keli of the Beis HaMikdash where it says, v'losan rabim, v'osu aroin atzei shitim. They should make v'losan rabim. Why is it that this keli is different than all of the other kelim of the Beis HaMikdash that over here it says it v'losan rabim? So the Ramban says two reasons for this. Number one, because the Oren was the makom of Hashroas Hashchina, the Kedosh Mishkenei Elyon, the dwelling of where the Shechina actually rested. It spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mibein HaKruvim. That is where it rested. If that's the case, you need the collective efforts of all of Klal Yisrael to bring that Shechina down. Everybody has to take part in that. The Shechina comes down with his Arabic that's united in Avodah. So Dafka over there it says, V'osu, everybody has to take part with their Nedivus Halev to contribute to the Aron, and that brings down the Shechina, the Kedosh Mishkenei Elyon, the higher dwelling of the Shechina. But then he says the second shot. He says, Hayos the Aron carry the Luchas. And the Aron represents Torah. This is teaching us that Torah is not the Nachla of a Yachid. Torah is the Nachla of the Rabbim together. Everybody has a Chelek in Torah. Nobody could say, well, Torah is meant for the big guys, you know, the guys with the big brains, the long limb, you know, Torah is meant for them. Nothing doing. But Osu, they, all of Klal Yisrael together, everybody has to have a chelik in Torah. The Chofetz Chaim says, the Mishkan was in the center of Klal Yisrael. There were different machanos, the different golem, they were planted on different sides of the Mishkan. One would think that if the Mishkan is the Dabar Shevikdusha, where the Shechina rests, it should march at the head of Klal Yisrael, and all of Klal Yisrael should follow. No, that's not the way it was. The Mishkan was in the middle. Why is up the Chofetz Chaim? To show that everybody is equidistant from the Kedusha. Everybody is equidistant from the Oren. Everyone has an equal Chelek in Torah. There's no such thing as the Torah is the Nachla of this one or that one. Everybody has a chance, lefi his kaiches, to learn Torah. Once said over, the Gemara says in the Sechta Shabbos, that when the Bnei Yisrael, Pechesam et Aleph, the Gemara says that when the Bnei Yisrael said Nasir and Ishma, so 600,000 Malachim came down. Each one of them had two crowns, and they placed it on the heads of the Bnei Yisrael. Echad keneged Nasir, the Echad keneged Nishma. When the Bnei Yisrael were chayte with the chayte egel, the same malachim, that was 1,200,000 malachim came, and they removed those crowns. So the Gemara, the chulon notlon Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he got all of the crowns of the Bnei Yisrael. Shenemaru Moshe yikaches el oyel. And the question is, you know, a person has maybe a Shabbos hat, a weekday hat besides. Maybe he'll have a baseball hat when he wants to play sports. He'll have a baseball hat. Maybe for the summer he'll have a straw hat. Maybe he'll also have a rain hat. No, he have five hats. Kenachera. Right. What am I sure they do with all of those crowns? 1,200,000 crowns? Now, what exactly is the purpose of 1,200,000 crowns? It's superfluous. And what is the Gemara says? That Moshe Rabbeinu was like to all of these crowns. What does that mean? So I once touched up that these crowns aren't merely things that you put on the head. The crowns represented lights of Kedusha. Every individual has his own light of Kedusha that the other person doesn't have. Every single individual, according to his Tchunas HaNefesh, according to his Shayrish, the root of his Neshama, he understands the Torah differently in his own unique way, in a way that nobody else could understand. The 600,000 interpretations of Nasa and 600,000 interpretations of Nishma. And every single yid has his own chelik that the other one doesn't have. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to all of those crowns, those are different spiritual lights that emanated from the Bnei Yisrael. They weren't redundant. It wasn't superfluous. Each one had its own unique angle in Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu was zeichet to all of them. Chazal say, well, said, Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return those crowns to each and every one of us. And this is why we say every single day, doesn't say v'sein lanu chelek b'sayra secha. Give us a portion in your Torah. It says v'sein chelkenu b'sayra secha. Each and every one of us has our own unique chelek. And this is why. This is why it says v'osu orain loshen rabin. Everybody has a chelek in the arm. Once it over a ma'ase here, I believe shunidike, maybe the ma'ase. You know, it was a terrible, tragic period in Klal Yisrael, the period of the Kantanisten. That is where the Russian Tsar, he passed an edict that his police, his henchmen, should kidnap Jewish kids off of the street. They were 9, 10 years old. They kidnapped them. They would bring them and start indoctrinating them with ideologies of the Tsar. And that's the way they started serving in his army at a very young age. They were taken away from their parents mercilessly. It was shrekless. The tsar, the parents had to go through. They would stay there for 30 years and come back after 30 years, alienated from their families, alienated from Yiddishkeit. A lot of them were Amoratzim, Gemurim, they knew nothing. For 30 years they were separated from Torah, did not know a thing. Unfortunately, as is the case sometimes, the Yidden that didn't have to go through this, they were insensitive to the plight of these Kantanisten. And sometimes they said derogatory things about them. And one of the derogatory names that they said about them, they used to call them a Yavon, like Yavonim. You know, they're alienated, they're like Yavonim. Terrible, terrible thing. So there was this one Kantanist, must have been about 40, 50 years old, he used to come to Mincha Ma'ariv every day, didn't know how to daven. But he just wanted to be in the Beis Medrash to hear how Yidden daven. Between Mincha and Ma'ariv, they used to learn the Mishnayos Shir. He listened in, he didn't understand much, but at least he wanted to be part of it. So one day, the Chabura of Mishnayos, they started learning Masechtas Yevamos. And the Magid Shir starts talking about the Yavam, the one that's performing the marriage, the Yavam, and the Yavam does the mitzvah. This guy starts getting heated up. He thought that the guy was saying the Yavan. He's not sure, a little insulted in the middle of the shit. He pipes up, shame on you! Shame on you! How dare you embarrass me, Barabbin? I suffered for 30 years. I was away from home, and I had to suffer. And now I come back, and I want to hear something about Yiddishkeit, and you embarrass me, Barabbin? So he told him, we weren't saying the word Yavan. Yavon. They tried showing him inside. I don't believe you. He wasn't able to read. And he was all insulted. There was a Yid sitting there that felt terrible for this fellow. And he decided he's going to teach him Aleph Beis. I'll teach him how to read, and that'll be able to prove to him that they weren't insulting him at all. So he started teaching him Aleph Beis. And from Aleph Beis, he taught him how to read. And he taught him how to daven. And from davening it went to Chumash. And from Chumash it went to Mishnayos. And Yitzchak understood that they weren't poking fun at him. The Chofetz Chaim said that he remembers when the people used to bring this fellow, this Kantanist, their hard shilas. He became a Pesach at the end. From being someone that was totally alienated, that didn't know the difference between a Yavam and a Yavon, he didn't know how to read. From that person became a big Pesach that people used to bring their Shver Shailas to this person. So Chofetz Chaim said, first of all, you see the chesed of a Yid, the chesed of a Yid, the sensitivity of a Yid, what it could accomplish for somebody else. But the second thing you see over here, that a person can be so far away from Torah. He doesn't know how to read. He's in his 40s, doesn't even know how to read. And such a person could eventually become a big Pesach. That's what the Torah is telling us over here. V'osuli Aroin. They should make for me Lashon Rabin. Everybody has a chelek in Torah, and nobody should say that the Torah belongs to the smart fellas and it doesn't belong to me. It says over here, V'asiso es hakroshim lamishkan, atzei shitim oindim. V'asiso es hakroshim, with a hey hayidia. Every other one of the components of the Mishkan, the Oren, it doesn't say Vosisa es Ho'oren. It doesn't say Vosisa es Hamenayra. It doesn't say Vosisa es Hashulchan. Put by the Kroshim, it says Vosisa es HaKroshim, the Kroshim, with the Hehayidia. So Rashi teaches over here the Kroshim, the known Kroshim, the ones that have been already designated. Every one of the materials of the Mishkan were donated by the Bnei Yisrael. But the krushim that formed the frame, the walls of the Mishkan upon which the curtains were spread out, those were already around beforehand. That was not given by the Bnei Yisrael now. Yaakov Avinu was the one that planted these krushim. Yaakov Avinu in Mitzrayim saw with Ruach HaKodesh that there's going to be a Mishkan. So he planted these cedar trees in Mitzrayim, and he told his children, you should know that when you leave Mitzrayim, there's going to be a Mishkan to be built. These are the krushim for the Mishkan. There's another medrash that says that Avraham Avinu planted the krushim for the Mishkan. And Yaakov Avinu, before he went down to Mitzrayim, he went to Be'er Sheva to first bring the krushim, the wood that Avraham Avinu had planted. So you have to understand, why dafka was it that the Avos HaKadoshim had to plant this? What is the kesher between the Avos HaKadoshim and the krushim? Ha'ara number two. We know that the krushim had tremendous, tremendous reinforcements. They had pegs that came, you know, they protruded, that went into the kerish next to it. In addition to that, there were latches on top that went through all of them. There were latches on the bottom that went through all of them. There was the Beriah Chatichain, a middle latch that went through the center of every one of them. In addition to that, there were tabois on the top that attached all of them together. Why the need for so many reinforcements? They were in the Midbar. They weren't susceptible to the elements. There was no wind, there was no snow, there was no rain. They were under the Anani HaKavi. So there was no threat of it getting blown down. Why was there a need for such tremendous chizuk, for such tremendous reinforcement? And number three, B'nayik Sheva Oilam, the furniture in your house is not made out of the same material that the outer walls of your house are made of. You don't have tables and beds made of bricks. Right? And they're not made of the same, you know, the same outer look of the house you don't see on the inside of the house. The inside of the house has its own color scheme with its own furniture. But it doesn't look exactly like the outside of the house. Yet over here, the krushim were cedar wood covered with gold. So was the shulchan, so was the mizbeach hazav, so was the aron. The furniture looked exactly like the outside of the house. Why is that? So I once heard a Moira de Kipshat. This wasn't just any old house. Any old house, the outside of the house is meant to keep out the elements. The inside of the house is meant for the comfort. They serve two totally different purposes. They have no shaykhus one to the other. And they're made out of two totally different materials. But the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was the Hashroas HaShchina, a dwelling place for Kedusha. In order to have a dwelling place for Kedusha and to do the Avodah, you first have to isolate the outside world, the physical world, the world of Tumah, the world of the foreign winds that blow, that threaten to be Metamei Klal Yisrael. First you have to isolate the outer winds, and only then could you be Zeicha to the inner Ruach of Kedusha. Rav Hutna Zatzal used to say that the first two Aseres HaDibros are Noichi Hashem Aleichecha, and those are two sides of the same coin. If you're able to disattach yourself from the rest of the world, then you're able to attach yourself. But if you're unable to disattach yourself from the rest of the world, from the Narishkeit, from the Gashmias, from the Tumah of the rest of the world, then you're in that Madrega, you're incapable of attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kotzker, when he was a little boy, once came home from Cheder. His father asked him, what did you learn in Cheder today? So he says, we learned the Pasuk by Maimon Har Sinai, by Yichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hahar. My Rebbe types, by Yichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hahar, Klal Yisrael camped facing the mountain. But I types, Klal Yisrael camped there with their backs to the rest of the world. And it's Mamish, I got it. It sounds like two different angles, but they're really two sides of the same coin. In order to be able to face the mountain, in order to be able to bond with the Shekhinah, you have to turn your back to the rest of the world. We live in a physical world. Over the mice, as much as we can, we have to isolate those foreign winds of Tumah. We have to isolate the world from Shigas, of corruption. Ruach HaTumah, you have to isolate that, keep that out, and only then could we maintain the Shekhinah, maintain the Kedusha. This answers all of the questions that we ask. Number one, why is it that the walls are made of the same material as the kelim inside the Beis HaMikdash? The teretz is because they go hand in hand. With the same material that you isolate the tumah on the outside, that is the same material that's used to bring the kedusha in on the inside to do the avodah, the mizbeach, the oren, the shulchan, because it's one and the same. In order to do that, you first have to isolate the tumah from the outside. It's not like it's two separate components. It's not like two separate purposes. If you can disattach yourself from the rest of the world, then you can attach yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you needed so many chizukim, so many reinforcements. Because to isolate the tumah, you have to have chizuk after chizuk after chizuk after chizuk. Now, that wasn't because of the physical elements. It was to represent we're isolating the physical world. This is a totally different world. Zer Shara Shamayim, this is the gateway to heaven. The gateway to heaven, it's a totally different Bria. It's a totally different world. For that, you need chizuk after chizuk after chizuk. Not only that, but the Medrash says that the Bariah HaTichon, the middle pole that went through all of the Krushim, it went through B'derech Neis. Because wood cannot fold itself around all the different sides. It had to be B'derech Neis. Why did that have to be B'derech Neis? Usually the Ramban says, the Torah is not Seimach HaNisim. The mitzvahs of the Torah, you do B'derech HaTeva. And the answer to that is, because even after each chizuk, after all of the attempts that we make to isolate the rest of the world, you still have to come on to the special siyata d'shmaya b'kodesh baruch hu. After all the tefillahs and all of the efforts, after everything, I know Nebuch HaMishpacha. I know Nebuch HaMishpacha. Ois kahalten HaMishpacha. I wanted to bring up their children. You know, Mamash Altaris HaKodesh. They lived across the street from a perverted fellow who used to get material, you know, Yenatomidika material. And the mailman one day by mistake put that material into their mailbox. And the kids picked up that stuff. The churban that it caused, the damage that it caused, was lahafi. Lahafi, Baruch Hashem, you know, it turned out okay. But with tremendous agnus nefesh. So how do you prevent that? You could do all the hishtavos in the world, and somehow or other, you know, the satan mishtacharayim. After everything is said and done, after chizuk, after chizuk, after chizuk, you need the Rebbeinu Shalom to give siyata d'shmaya, that we have to have help from above, and taket has to work al pi nisim, al pi koiches that are beyond our understanding. Why was it that the Avos HaKadoshim had to be the ones to plant the trees for these walls? Because who was greater than Avraham Avinu in isolating the rest of the world? Why was he called Avraham HaIvri? Because I'll tell us, Avraham the Aver Echad, Avraham was on one side of the world, the Chol HaOlam Kulo the Aver Sheni. The rest of the world was on the other side. He defied the world. He fought against the world, whereas the whole world was Isaac and Avi Dezareh. He stood as a Yochid. He championed the ideology of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who greater than Avraham Avinu to plant these trees that isolate the rest of the world? Yaakov Avinu, according to the other Medrash, he lived with a Lavan, and he was able to raise a family there and to protect them against the tumah of a Lavan. Yaakov Avinu, when he went down to Mitzrayim, the last 17 years of his life, he paved the road of Kedusha so that Klal Yisrael would be able to survive for 210 years in that Golus of tumah. Who was greater than Yaakov Avinu to be able to plant those walls of Kedusha, that bastion of Kedusha that isolates the tumah of the rest of the world? That is why the Krushim Bedavke needed all of this chizuk, and that is why the Krushim Bedavke had to be planted through these Avos HaKadoshim. One final vart. It says, Ure'ei v'asei v'tavnison. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, see the form of the menorah, asher atomoreh bohor, that I showed you by the mountain. You have to study it. Look at the way I'm showing it to you now. So Rashi says, Niskasha Moshe v'maisa ha-menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult to understand how to make the menorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the form of the menorah in fire, a menorah shel eish. And he studied it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, this is the way you have to make it. So the Sefer Eitzvah HaTorah asks a question, why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to study the menorah? At the very end, he didn't make it anyway. Chazal say, Miksha te'ose es ha-menorah, the Sefer Dover was, he didn't make it. The original tzivui was that he should make it, but the end result was he didn't. It was too difficult. He took this big square of gold, he threw it into the fire, and from there emerged the menorah. So if anyway Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't making the Menayur, if anyway it was going to come to Derech Neis, why was it necessary for him to study all of the Pratim of the Menayur? So the Sefer Eitzus HaTorah says, you see from over here, Amoridiki Yisoid, that even if you're Zoichet to the Siyata Dishmaya, to Hashem doing it, but you have to put all of your Koichas into it. Moshe Rabbeinu had to do everything humanly possible to be able to produce the Menayra. He studied it. He analyzed it. He tried doing it on his own. It was impossible. As a last resort, Hashem says, throw it into the fire. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he sat himself. He put every hishtadlus in to making the Menayra. We do everything possible. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives that siyata d'shmaya. But we have to do everything possible. We have to put our koiches. In Yiddish, there's a saying, DT, you do, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam help him. You have to do everything possible, then Hashem will help. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
I'm not going to talk to that boy. I'm not going to talk to that boy. I'm not going to talk to that boy.